about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Doesn't it look like I am ready? I am always ready. I have been ready since first call. I am ready. Roll.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
What flavor is a Flamin' Hot Cheeto?
Hot.
I am tasting hot.
What would happen to me if I ate this whole bag?
You might have the runs. And your booty might be burned. When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
All right, guys. It's a work day, and you guys work here, so let's go do some work.
And now, Allie's right nipple is so hairy. She named the left one End the Hendersons.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday, March 6th, yes.
How did Pete Holmes know that?
See?
I was so wondering weird. The same thing.
Crazy.
So weird.
So, just the hair on the one nipple, though, right? The other one's fine?
Well, one a lot hairier than the other.
I got you.
Yeah.
That's a visual.
Sure
is.
Sorry.
Hey, what's up?
Wow.
Hey, you know, not much. How's everybody?
Good.
Refresh my memory here, Kevin. You do or do not watch the news?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
This thing that happened yesterday, and Allie, I know you have thoughts, was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen happen on television. Sam Nunberg? Right, Allie?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were asking Kevin.
No, I was just asking you. No, we're bringing Kevin up to speed because he would have missed
it. Right, I didn't see it.
This is a guy who used to work for the president. He's been hired and fired, what, 2 or 3 different times. Has a very strange and contentious relationship with the president. He got sued by the president for breach of, non-disclosure.
Wait, when you said he's been hired and fired 3 times, you mean by President
Trump?
By Trump,
yes.
Oh, I thought you meant different bosses. Wow.
No. Hired and fired and sued by President Trump at one point for talking about things he wasn't supposed to be talking about. He was the guy who was supposed to – one of his jobs was to try to get the president to understand the Constitution.
Oh, great.
And when he did an interview describing how impossible that was one of the things that the president fired him over and sued him over. So anyway, they all worked it out. So now he is being subpoenaed by the Mueller investigation about this Russia thing that's going on.
Right.
And he decided he was not going to turn himself in and he was not going to cooperate with the investigation, although he believes there is no collusion and the president did nothing wrong.
Okay.
So is he protecting himself? Is he protecting his old boss, Roger Stone? We don't know. So instead of just, I don't know, leaving the country, which is what some people would do, or changing your identity to avoid this subpoena and ending up in jail, he decided to go on every television channel that would have him. I saw him on Nickelodeon at one point. It was on TV Land. I mean, it was crazy. Like anyone he would talk to. How many interviews did he end up doing yesterday, Allie?
I don't know. He was
on like 7 or something?
A few MSNBC shows, a few CNN shows.
And why was he doing this?
Just to say, I'm not going to cooperate with the Mueller investigation. In other words, what are they going to do, arrest me? He said multiple times. Well, yes. That's what they're going to do.
Right?
It's the strangest thing to go on television and basically thumb your nose at a special prosecutor.
But then he would ask the person interviewing him, do you think I'll go to jail?
Yes.
Every single interviewer he asked and they were like, yeah, we do. And you saw his kind of demeanor change every single interview.
Wait, so he was seriously asking them. He wasn't
Absolutely.
Just making a statement. He
wanted
to know
what
they
thought. Did not appear with his attorney, Kevin. It seemed like he was going completely rogue. Like he was just out there just winging it.
That's awesome.
Which is a weird, but then at some point, and Allie, I think this is where I saw you weigh in. At some point, it seemed exploitative in that the guy was clearly cracking up.
Yeah, he was in the throes of a mental breakdown.
Oh, really?
And enough. You were on every network. If they wanted to rerun what you did earlier, fine. But to keep putting this man on live television.
They kept putting him on after that point?
was disgusting to me.
And at one point, I think it was Aaron Burnett who said, look, I just got to say this. I smell alcohol on your breath.
Really?
She's sitting across the table from him. And he said, nope, I haven't had anything to drink. Only my antidepressants, which were not getting the job done that day. I mean, yeah.
Wow.
So there's a great deal of speculation about whether this is just some horrible mental breakdown that we were unfortunately a party to because it was so public. Or is this all some – is this the equivalent – and this is the analogy I thought of for some reason yesterday. Is this the equivalent of the guy who, you know, poops in his hand and smears it all over himself because he wants an insanity plea? You know what I mean? Like a guy going out of his way to look as crazy and as unstable as possible because now at this point, after that performance yesterday, how can anyone take anything – that he testifies to and say it's likely true. In other words, he shot his own credibility so, you know, down so far that it's like he's not a reliable witness for the prosecution or the defense.
I mean, that's pretty smart, no?
Yeah, after the second interview, that's when I brought it up to a friend of mine. I said, this seems so calculated to me, and he's doing a great job because every single journalist is like, here we have it. And the fact that his lawyer couldn't get a hold of him, you know where the networks are. You know how to go and wait for him before he leaves for the next one.
Sure.
It all seemed very suspect.
Plus, you know, he worked for Roger Stone, who was the president's campaign manager, if I remember correctly, and is one of the great political operatives of all time and has said, you know, many times that he just enjoys it so much because of it's an art form. It's political theater. You know, this is exactly the kind of stunt that a guy like that would dream up. Because he's a super smart guy.
Yeah, he got to the point where he's like, Trump's an idiot. This is all because he's an idiot and he doesn't know what he's doing. He should never have fired Comey. Like, he kept, like, going back and forth and
contradicting himself.
It was enough.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a very bizarre day, and I have no idea ultimately what the shakeout's going to be or, you know, if this guy is going to change his mind eventually and cooperate with the investigation or if he's just going to get arrested and go to jail and just be babbling to his cellmates for the rest of his life. I don't know what's going to happen. So that was all day yesterday, and then don't get us started on The Bachelor last night because that was equally crazy. And I feel like we need to reconsider, Kevin, and get P on the phone today because it was the most dramatic finale ever.
Which is what they always promise.
Right.
I didn't see it because I was playing poker.
Do you know what happened?
Did Bean watch it?
No, but how could you miss it? It's all anybody was talking about
last night.
Yeah,
I don't click on anything Bachelor like a right-thinking American.
Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, Kevin.
Okay.
He picked Becca.
Okay.
And then they go off, right? They get engaged, and then they go off and they live their lives away from the camera because, you know, they can't be seen in public until the finale airs.
Right.
And they're just having the time of their lives, except that Ari can't stop thinking about the one that got away. So he breaks up with her on camera after they're engaged and all they're doing is talking about how they can't wait to get married and go public and everything like that because he can't stop thinking about who's Blondie. What's Blondie's name?
Boy, I sure don't remember.
The other one.
Yeah, the other one.
So he breaks up with her. And people were losing their minds because they set it up as a romantic getaway weekend for her. She has no idea she's walking. Everybody knows but her that she's about to be broken up with. And there it is right on camera. And they just sit there with it. It was like 30 minutes of them just sitting there weeping and looking at each other and him leaving and then coming back and her screaming. I mean, it was so ugly.
That seems very cruel.
It seems very cruel. And that's the thing. The people who love The Bachelor are like, hey, I watched this show for entertainment and it's supposed to be fun. This isn't fun. How could you do this to this woman?
Wow.
So he breaks up with her because he decides he wants to go with the other one.
And did the other one take him back?
That I don't know.
Oh.
And I don't know, maybe that's tonight because there's another episode tonight apparently.
What?
Oh, jeez. Enough.
I know. Oh. I know. I don't know. So as a matter of fact, why can't we remember the Blondie's name? So she was devastated, of course, because Ari broke up with her even though she thought they were getting married. She thought everything was going great because he wanted to go with Becca. And then he spent all that time with Becca and now he's back with the first one.
I always wondered in real life, don't you think like The Bachelor would get 4 or 5 phone numbers, don't you think?
Like, yeah. Hey, just in case this doesn't work out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would suppose that that happens every season, but usually they don't do it on camera.
Yes. Yeah. So there are a lot of questions for people to say at this point, going, look, I understand that all of the participants involved sign paperwork, knowing that this is what the show is, that everything is fair game, and that they're going to go on TV, and it's going to be private moments made public. But how about some decency?
From you The set, Bachelor?
You set this woman up to be broken up with on television. Maybe that doesn't have to be on camera. That's what some people are suggesting. So,
but
I don't know.
If that's how the producers wrote it.
Good times.
Yeah. Maybe so. So I'm wondering how P's feeling about that. But just a roller coaster of emotions yesterday on the news channels during the day and then on ABC last night.
It's a lot.
It's almost too much to contain, you guys.
You all right, Bean? You okay?
I think I need to go lie down.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
The consequences are surely negative. There's no way to make this a positive thing.
Matt Money Smith's going to be on the program today. He's running the LA Marathon for the Justin Turner Foundation.
Mm-hmm. That's is he a runner, by the way? I feel like he is.
Yeah, he is. He's been.
So is this a big deal that he's running another race?
I think he's run marathons before.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
So this isn't like me running a marathon. This isn't
new. No.
This is just we're trying to get the word out to help him raise some money.
Don't be ridiculous.
Got it.
April Foolishness sold out yesterday.
How about that?
Which is crazy.
Awesome.
Thank you, kids.
That's super crazy. All the money going to the charities, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So thank you to everybody. We've got your tickets. We're going to give away some tickets in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. John Taffer will join us. The host of Bar Rescue has written a book called Don't BS Yourself.
Oh.
Okay. What's up with Florida on today's Kevin and Bean Show? And Doto, the international man of mystery.
Or not.
Is the only person I care about. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Tuesday morning. Alan McKay, what's happening?
Well, Russ Solomon, the founder of Tower Records, has passed away at the age of 92. And apparently he was watching the Oscars Sunday night at his home in Sacramento.
He died of boredom?
No, he had a heart attack. But his son, Michael, said, quote, ironically, he was giving his opinion of what someone was wearing that he thought was ugly, then asked his wife, Patty, to refill his whiskey. And when she returned, he had passed away.
Wow.
That's a very peaceful way to go, being snarky, watching right? The Oscars, drinking whiskey.
Don't like that dress. Give me some whiskey.
I kind of dig it. I like it. I don't know. You guys all saw the Colin Hanks documentary,
yes,
All Things
sure.
Must Pass.
Loved it.
Which I can't recommend enough for same. People to watch if you are even slightly interested in Tower Records and what an amazing company it was. But he started in his father's drugstore up in Sacramento, just selling records, used records at the drugstore. Then he got some loans and credit and was able to open the first proper Tower Records store in 1960 up in Sacramento. And then quickly opened a San Francisco location, then LA, and then 26 locations, including a location in Japan that still is standing today.
Oh, it is. Oh, I think
open.
That's the
yeah.
only one, right?
The only one that's still open. But it's such an interesting story, and it's incredible to see the legends of music that would just go in there and spend hours looking yeah. through records and chatting with the people there. It was just this, almost like this music collective that doesn't really exist nowadays.
I can't remember how many times I went to the Tower Records on Sunset and saw some famous musician in there doing exactly what you said, Allie.
Yeah.
I remember seeing David Byrne in there. I remember seeing a ton of people just throughout the years because that's where everybody wanted to go hang out.
Yeah. They
fun.
Had a good time at that yeah. Tower Records. If you watch Colin Hanks's documentary, All Things Must Pass, you will see what I mean.
Dave coughed up a photo yesterday that I did not remember happening at all of us. Kevin, did you see the picture?
I did not.
Us in front of the Tower Records at some point, wearing our bat outfits, with the Batmobile. And I can't... Do you have any memory whatsoever of us being in front of the Tower Records with the Batmobile?
Yeah. Was Adam West there? Was there an event there? I think there was an event there, wasn't there?
Well, I don't.
Not positive.
I don't have any memory of it at all. It was a more modern Batmobile.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it was Adam West. Huh. It was weird. I mean, I know we did a bunch of stuff at the Tower throughout the years, but of course, I have no memory. But everybody yesterday online, thanks to Kat Corbett, was reminiscing about their favorite memory at their favorite store. And it was really super fun to see people participating like that.
Absolutely. We were looking through Kat's Twitter because she was asking, which one was your Tower Records? And Kat had the same two as me. During the summers and college, it was the Tower on Newbury and Mass Ave. Okay. In Boston. And then the rest of the year for me, it was the one on Sunset. She had the same one. But I was just looking through at the locations and people's memories of, oh, my aunt used to take me there, and that's where she would always buy tickets, and I'd have to sit there for hours while she chatted with the people that worked there. Just unbelievable. But I also remember that I got my my license, and one of the first things that I did was I drove to the Tower on Sunset, and I got Stone Temple Pilots, which is the record with Plush and all that.
Is it Core?
Is it Core? Sure. It's Core.
I don't think it matters, but...
It's Core. Okay. And I remember, it was like the greatest day of my life, because I had my new license, and I had this amazing CD, and I couldn't wait just to drive all around and listen to it. And Tower just has so many great memories.
Yeah, true.
So many of us, not only LA kids, but kids all over.
What a life. Russ Solomon.
Yeah, incredible life. To go out watching the Oscars, drinking whiskey, I say thank you. Life well lived. Speaking of the Oscars, the smallest TV audience ever. Yeah. Overnight, Nielsen ratings showed that they pulled in 26.5 million viewers. That's down 16% from last year's show, which was also a 9-year low. However, the show will still likely be the most non-sporting event that's been watched on TV this year. So,
yeah, it's not a surprise based on what's going on with network television. I mean, look, there are a lot of people who don't watch anything on network TV. You
know? Yeah, true.
A lot of better options. Sorry.
And what if we made it 2 hours?
Boom.
Just two.
I think that would help a lot.
I think it would
best
be
show.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Got to get them on that. And Bean, I don't know if you saw this.
Uh-oh.
But I thought of you because it just made me laugh so hard. And when I find it, I'll tell you all about it coming up next. Where'd it go? Emma Watson showed up at an Oscar party. The Vanity Fair Oscars party with a tattoo that said "Time's Up." However, it was missing the apostrophe in "Times."
Oh, did Bean write a strongly worded letter?
Bean, how angry were you?
Look, it's hilarious to me when people get a tattoo that has a misspelling in it. It's hilarious.
That is funny.
Like, that's the one time when, I don't know, really triple check before the ink goes on.
The good news for Emma Watson. It was a temporary tattoo.
Ah.
Everything's fine. And if she was just missing the apostrophe, easy add. But temporary tattoo, everyone calm down.
It's okay, everyone?
Yeah, glad I found that.
Me too. That was worth it.
Yeah. Some birthdays for you. NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal, actress Connie Britton, comedian D.L. Hughley? What? Director Rob Reiner, actor Tom Arnold, and I do believe one of Bean's all-time favorite guests on the show, rapper Tyler, the Creator.
Do we need to hear a clip?
Yeah. I mean, I think we do.
Is there going to be much music on it as well, or just acting?
You'll see. You will see.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, the great Tyler, the Creator.
Not a fan, Bean?
It was a challenging chat.
Okay. Well, that's what's happening.
So he's running a marathon or he's not running a marathon?
I don't know what he's doing. Let's find out how much he cares about the kids. Our old friend Matt Money Smith, the co-host of the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570 LA Sports, joins us back on K-Rock. Hey, Money, good morning.
What's happening, Billboard stars? How are you?
It's a pretty impressive piece of artwork, isn't it?
It really is. You know, I think it's the minimalist movement that's really taken hold in this fine city of ours.
Right.
And you are the you are those to usher it in.
Hey, do you and P have billboards anywhere over town?
No, you know what? We used to. I think we had a Snuggie campaign for a minute, and that was going on. And then my favorite was our parody of the El Cucuy and Il Mandril billboard, remember, where I was in the cowboy hat with my mouth wide open and P...
That was pretty sweet.
About to go on a rampage. Yes, it was fun.
Money's talking about his favorite Billboard campaign, Bean.
Yes, we only had two.
More than we had
years ago. So yes,
more than we had. Well, listen, Kevin asked a question. Is money running a marathon or not? Because we do see that the Justin Turner Foundation is doing an event coming up on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And there are two choices. There's the 5K and then there's the marathon. So we're trying to figure out how much you care about the kids. Which one are you running?
So this is the second time I'm doing it. Justin, just to kind of give the background, really is one of our great stewards of the city and an athlete and really cares about the community. He's from the community, you know, went to Lakewood or was born and raised in Lakewood, went to Cal State Fullerton, now plays for the Dodgers. And his kind of two causes that his charity focuses on are veterans that are homeless and trying to get them placed and families that have incurred significant medical expenses.
Wow.
And helping them out. So that's kind of what he's been doing since he's been back here in L.A. He is the official sponsor, charity sponsor of the marathon. So because of that, you can run charity half marathons. So you partner up with someone, each of you take half, you raise a bunch of money. I did it once before with J.P. Howell's wife. She ran the second half, I ran the first half. We did that a few years ago, and I don't know who I'm paired up with this year, but this year I am running the second half
of
the marathon.
Wouldn't you make more money if both of you ran the marathon? Because it seems like you don't care about the charities much.
You know, I think that's a fair point. That sadly was an option that was presented to me, and I said no.
I thought you've run a marathon before.
I have, yeah, and it is time-consuming, and it is physically taxing, and I will no longer be doing that at my advanced age.
I have always wondered about that, Matt, and we're going to give out the information for people who want to sponsor you or contribute here in a minute, but I've always wondered, how long does it take to prepare to run a marathon?
To do it properly, which I've done a couple times, right? Properly prepare. About four months. Yeah, I think when I really went after it and tried to get a good time, I was running about 50 to 60 miles a week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. You're running like 9 miles a day, taking a day off, running like a 20 miler on the weekend. And it's crazy. It is. And, it's like anything, right? You do it, you train, you get used to it, your body gets used to it, so it doesn't seem like a big deal. While you're doing it, it's so time consuming. I mean, 20 miles takes you 3.5 hours and, you know, you're wrecked for the next 2 days because your body's like, hey, F you. The hell was that? So 13.1 is totally manageable. I think just about anybody that's in decent shape could, believe it or not, as much as it sounds like it is.
I don't believe that.
You really could. I know it's crazy, but I have done it with enough people that have not really trained, and for whatever reason, that distance seems to be okay if you're not getting too crazy and trying to break.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How about me? Could I do it?
No. Bean, I would be worried about you overexerting yourself if you had to lift your arm to hand me a cup of water at one of the stations. That might be too physically taxing.
I am a veal. I do try to move as little as possible throughout the day. Hey, Matt, how does it work this time around with the marathon? Do people just make a donation to you, or do they sponsor you per mile run, or what?
It's just a donation. So the best way, and if you want to do it for me or whatever, it doesn't matter. Justin is the guy. So it's just run with JTF. That's Justin Turner Foundation. So run with JTF.org, I believe, or it might be .com. My bad.
I think it's .com, yeah.
Okay, .com, and then you can click on the different groups that are running. His wife, Courtney's running. I'm running. The Pantone 294 people who are, you know, those diehard Dodger fans that travel all over the country and, you know, take over stadiums. They're running, so there's quite a few of us. So as long as you know, can give maybe to one of those. I know we're trying to get. I think we're trying to get the 10 grand with our three groups. And we got a little ways to go. That would be great.
We put a link on at Kevin and Bean Twitter.
Facebook. It's on the Facebook page, too, yeah. Okay. Two more questions for you, Money, and then we know you got a busy day today. Producer Dave wants to know, how do you take care of your nipples on the run? That's a real concern,
that
right, for people.
That is a great question, because I have extremely sensitive, super white guy nipples. and I think you guys may remember, I have very large nipples. I have inordinately large nipples. They are not dying.
Go on.
I'd say they're JFK 50-cent pieces.
Really?
Maybe about the range that they are. So, yes, I have this stuff called Body Glide, which if you really want to get detailed, they go on the goes on the nipples, and it greases them up so the fabric doesn't tear them apart, and you got to kind of put it down below too to prevent the chafing.
How about that?
Okay.
What the hell?
Taking a... want some of this guy. This guy, huh?
Running sounds really glamorous.
I know. It's so sexy. All right. Last question, Money. You've been very kind to not bring it up, but I still owe you money from our baseball bet from last year. I never got around in the offseason like I usually do to sending you the money.
You still have time.
That's
the
I owe you $50 from last season, and I'm going to ask you now, would it be okay if instead of sending you the money, I doubled it and put that $100 on the marathon?
That's bogus.
You know what?
You support it for $100 on the marathon, and you pay Money his money.
I can support the marathon for $50 and send $50 to Money, but I'm offering to put the whole $100 on the marathon.
Oh, you bastard. I was counting on that $50 to support my beer habit. Send it all to the marathon.
There you go.
That's the deal.
Fantastic. Is there a way to follow up and make sure he does that money?
I'll do it. I'll do it right now.
Help me out, guys. Where is the billboard?
It's near parking lot 6 at the Coliseum on West Martin Luther King between Hoover and Figueroa.
Gotcha. I was just trying to figure out if it might be on the marathon route. That would be a little bit of a detour, though. That would be about a 20-mile detour. So I'm gonna skip that one. And I will say this, if I may make one other plea. The route, you know, it's stadium to the sea. So you start at Dodger Stadium, you kind of cut through Echo Park and downtown and all that. And then you get into, like, Hollywood. You run up Sunset. You cut through West Hollywood into kind of the Wilshire, Beverly Hills area. If you are on the route, please, for the love of God, this just happened to me. I was in Dallas for a turkey trot. I met up with my buddy and ran an 8-miler on Thanksgiving Day. We were out there with the Chargers.
You make bad decisions.
Don't I, though? So my friend, just because he's a lot like us, is like, hey, there's this really cool people. They make their own energy drink. It's amazing. When you run by this house, everybody grabs it. I grab, and it's freaking whiskey. If you're going to hand somebody whiskey, just it's fine. I'm happy to drink whiskey. You know me. I'm all about drinking whiskey.
Sure.
On the run. Just let me know.
So heads
up.
Don't
take it down like it's 4 or 5 ounces worth of whiskey, and I think it's Gatorade. That's all I'm asking. Just give me the heads up.
All right. Go to the Kevin B. Twitter or Facebook and donate a little money Matt's way. And, of course, the Justin Turner Foundation is going to use these funds to help individuals and families in need in the area. Matt, have a great run. Thank you so much for jumping on today. We love you, man.
Thanks for putting me on, plugging it, guys. I appreciate it.
Take it, man. So we have a beautiful Kevin B. van. Beautiful. Just wonderful. Mm-hmm. Just art.
Thanks to you, hashtag KevDog.
Right. We put up a poll at Kevin and Bean on Twitter. What city should we send K-Rock Beer Mug in the KB van on Wednesday morning? He's going to go with some T-shirts, some stickers, and he's also got tickets for the sold-out April Foolishness.
All right.
So there's only an hour left because Dave mistimed it.
Awesome. Okay.
So if you want to go to at Kevin and Bean on Twitter and vote for them to come to your city, you can do that. Now, Foo Fighters on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:54.
Imagine Dragons in Sydney, you guys. We haven't forgotten. 9 o'clock this morning, we give you tickets to see the band at the Forum in July. And the grand prize drawing, destination number 3 of the K-Rock Wheels Up 2018, is Sydney, Australia, including round-trip airfare and hotel and Imagine Dragons in concert. By the way, I know we've said this before, and maybe this is old news. How great are Imagine Dragons in concert?
They're one of those bands that's better than their recorded music.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, 6:54 Tuesday morning. Allie, what's up?
Great news. Henry Cavill is not dead.
Did we think he was?
Well, according to his Wikipedia page, he died on Saturday, March the 3rd. However, he found out about that. So he wound up setting the record straight himself, and he posted a screen grab of the page on Instagram yesterday with the caption, "When you learn you died 2 days ago." So Henry's alive and well and feeling good,
you
guys.
It's a weird world when celebrities have to wake up and confirm that they're alive.
Insane, isn't it?
And it happens so often now, too, by the way. Yep. Like, who wakes up and says, I'm going to kill somebody on their Wikipedia page today?
Yeah, just nuts. Absolutely. Speaking of nuts, we talked about it a little bit yesterday with the Hollywood Reporter's Matt Bellany, but the guy that stole Frances McDormand's Oscar, did you see any video of this dude?
No, I did not.
I just saw the photo of him, of the still of him trying to walk out with it.
He is, he's wacky. He is a wacky, wacky man. So he's taking video of himself with the Oscar.
Right.
And people are coming around him, and this couple comes up, and they're like, oh, you won an Oscar? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, what for? And all he said was, for producing. And they took it, and they were like, oh, well, that's your key into anywhere. Good for you. And then he's just walking around the party with the Oscar, asking people if they want to take a picture with him. And then at one point, he just goes, where's Jimmy Kimmel's party? How do I get to Jimmy Kimmel's party? I'm like, this man is out of his mind. But apparently, this is something he does. He goes on the party circuit and just kind of sneaks into places. He apparently has a rather long rap sheet.
Ah.
And he was arrested yesterday. So, seeing as how he's on video asking people if they want a photo with him and his Oscar.
On his own video, right?
Like
he was taking it himself.
Yeah, that might be a slam dunk case.
You see that? You see how white people do?
He is not white.
I guess if you are holding an Oscar statue in your hand, it is like having a golden ticket that night to go anywhere.
Sure.
If you want it.
Yeah.
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 But I think he got it before it was engraved, so it was just like a naked statue.
Mugg says, by the way, that he has done this at MTV Awards and the VMAs and the Music Awards, too. As well. This is just his MO.
Those are much easier to sneak in, though.
You gotta step your game up, Kevin. I mean, he's stealing Oscars. You're just sneaking into places.
This guy's your hero, Kevin.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, dear. So, you guys, after months of rumors, Beyonce and Jay-Z have announced a joint tour. The first date of the On the Run tour was listed yesterday on Beyonce's Facebook and Ticketmaster pages, but both have since been deleted.
Oh,
what?
So people are like, what is happening? But people had screenshots, and the concert, the only one that was listed at the time, takes place Monday, July 30th at Philadelphia's Lincoln Financial Field. But now people are like, wait, are they? Are they not? Did they announce it too soon? Was she not supposed to do it? What is happening?
That's a big tour, by the way, if that happens. Jeez.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
They are not white either. Bad. Yeah. You can play that for this one, though.
Okay.
Rob Zombie and
Marilyn. Okay. You see that? You see how white people do?
Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson are hitting the road again this summer for a co-headlining tour. It's the Twins of Evil. The Second Coming Tour 2018. It begins in July and wraps up August 29th at Five Point Amphitheater in Irvine.
Zombies and vampires could be kind of alike in a weird way.
Pretty much.
That's a good point.
Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson. That man speaks the truth. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Tyler, the Creator, NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal, actress Connie Britton, comedian D.L. Hughley. Why do I say Hughley?
That's tough for us to answer.
I mean,
you see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
You know what, DL? You're totally right. Director Rob Reiner and actor Tom Arnold, and that's what's happening.
Are yo mama jokes the worst jokes?
No.
Have you heard Knock Knock?
Hey, yo mama jokes are awesome. Are you kidding me?
Define awesome.
Yo mama is so fat.
How fat is she?
I don't have a punchline. I don't know any jokes. But the point is that
sits around the house, she really sits around the house.
There you go.
I think
boom.
It's how that one goes.
That's quality right there. That's quality. We have we've done knock knock jokes, and we've done blonde jokes, and we've done folk 5 second jokes. We've done punchlines every day. We're giving away tickets to Kevin Amin's now sold out April Foolishness show at the Microsoft Theater March 31st. And thank you for that, by the way. And we're doing it this morning with Yo Mama jokes. So if you've got one, especially if you're Wilmer Valderrama, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Call now. 1-800-520-1067. We are going to have to put you on hold for a few minutes because we're doing something else first. But we want to hear your Yo Mama jokes. Best one wins tickets to the sold-out Kevin Amin April Foolishness show coming up March 31st.
The pot states, which are Massachusetts, Alaska, Colorado, D.C., Maine, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington, apparently have seen a rise in pedestrians and in accidents because of the weed.
Hmm.
So the states where marijuana is legalized, in other words, for consumer use, not medical marijuana,
right,
the ones that you just mentioned, you're telling me that they have more problems with people hitting pedestrians while driving behind the wheel.
Yes.
Then states where the weed is not legal yet.
I think the states that where it's legal, it's up 16%, and the other states are down 6%.
That's
not
great. I feel like more research is needed on that, but just on the face of it, that sounds like there's some sort of correlation between giving people the marijuana and people getting hit walking down the street.
I mean, I think that is it.
That's the conclusion I'm drawing. But look, I know how numbers can be deceiving, and I know how, depending on how something is written, it may have a different meaning than how I interpret it. You know, I could be missing the boat here. But that sounds to me like that's a pretty serious problem. What are we going to do about that?
Well, I don't know what we're going to do about it, but
I mean, we're not rolling back legalized weed, are we? I hope.
I hope not as well. I don't think so.
I don't think we want that. That is weird. So are we to believe that there are people then behind the wheel driving stoned and also people walking around on the streets all weeded up?
I would assume the people walking the streets all weeded up are part of the problem.
And they're not paying attention as they cross the road? I don't like anything about this, you guys. Look, smoke responsibly. Be careful.
Right. That does make
Buzz
sense.
Buzz driving is drunk driving. Isn't that what the commercials say?
That is true, Bean.
Right.
So I don't know what to do about this.
You want to take a call? We have Bodie calling from Huntington Beach.
Oh, sure. Why not?
About this issue. Hey, Bodie.
Hey, man. This is all propaganda, man. I mean, like the idea that, you know, you can smoke weed, it'll affect your reaction time, and like people are going to be hitting stuff or like pedestrians are not even like paying attention. It's man. I think I just ran into a stop sign.
Bodie, be careful when you're talking to us on the phone and walking at the same time.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just telling you that it's like big pharma, man, and like, the drugs are from the 60s. That's where like all this total misinformation came down about people smoking weed and like, hey, dude.
Oh, no.
What was that?
Guy hit me on his bike, man.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what's going on. It's like, but as I was saying, I think it's like the people, like they're trying to push Percocet or whatever on people because they want to take away our legal weed.
Oh, no.
No, no.
Oh, no.
You all right, Bodie?
I think so, man. Luckily, I'm all weeded out, so none of that affects me, man.
What decade was that car crash from, do you know?
Very old-timey.
1923 Model T, but...
Yeah, to lose a car like that.
You're going to see out there. Hold on, guys. Let me...
Okay. Oh. Is that a train?
Yeah.
Pay attention. You know, Bodie? You okay? Bodie?
All right?
Smoke if you got him, man.
Hey, Doto, International Man of Mystery, joins us for an update. I understand you had a thrilling weekend, if I understand correctly, working security at the Academy Awards, you guys.
Yeah.
Huh.
You sound skeptical.
I mean, I can't wait to talk to him about it.
I am excited as well. Also, Mr. Bar Rescue himself, John Taffer, joins us just after 8 a.m. First, though, let's give away some more tickets to the sold-out Kevin and Bean April Foolishness at the Microsoft Theater on March 31st. Yeah, you heard me. Sold out. Gabriel Iglesias and Adam Devine and Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana. Music and video from DJ Mike Realm. The tickets are gone for sale, but you can win them right now, and we're doing Yo Mama jokes.
Yo mama so ugly. Yo mama so fat. Yo mama jokes. Yeah, that's where it's at. Yo mama. Yo mama so dumb, yo mama so old. Tell your mama joke, come on, be cold. Yo mama so ugly, yo mama so fat, yo mama so old, yo mama so dumb, yo mama so poor, yo mama so hairy, yo mama
hairy
jokes.
Kevin, I know you were skeptical on the idea, but I think our callers are going to turn you around when you realize the magic that is the Yo Mama joke, if told correctly.
How do you hate all jokes except for the worst ones?
I don't know. There's something about Yo Mama jokes that I respect. How about you, Allie? Where are you on the Yo Mamas?
Right?
Okay.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
That's the prosecution. Let's see what the defense has to say.
All right. Let's go to Kevin in Upland. Hi, Kevin.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. Yo Mama joke, please.
Your mama's so fat, she uses a VCR as a beeper.
That's pretty fat.
My Bean, God. Come on, Bean.
Thank you, Kevin. Please hold on.
Andrew in Claremont, hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. So your mama's so fat, when her beeper goes off, people think she's backing up.
Wow, that tickled right. Andrew.
Andrew,
I thought
right.
they were supposed to say, supposed your mom is so fat, and then we say, how fat is
that's
she?
That's how it's supposed to go.
I think that's an artistic choice. I
oh,
think
is
you,
it?
Can, you can go that way if you
well,
choose
we'll play
to.
That role if you'd like us to.
Okay, we're available to ask
right.
the question
yeah.
if you need it.
All right,
right.
Like all right. let's go to Leo and Downey. Hi, Leo. Hello, Leo.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Your mama's so fat.
How fat is she?
She needs a GPS to find her butt.
Okay, good. Good delivery. Committed delivery. All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bean, how are you feeling about this?
So far, I'm on your side.
Okay.
so far, I'm sitting down at the bench with you.
Francisco from East Los. Hi.
Hey, what's up? All right, your mama's so ugly.
How ugly is she?
She went inside a haunted house and came out with an application. Boom! Mic drop.
I'm not sure that the joke justified that.
I agree.
Thank you very much for participating.
Jessica in Studio City.
Hello.
Hi there. We're taking yo mama jokes.
All right. Your mama is so fat.
How fat is she?
The last time she saw 90210 was on the bathroom scale.
Oh.
Okay, she'd weigh over 90,000 pounds, though. That doesn't even seem possible.
It's a joke, Bean.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Jessica. We have time for a couple
oh my
more.
God.
What the hell?
That's not science. Even possible.
He's using science on a yo mama joke. All right. Pedro in Compton. Hi.
Hi. Your mama is so fat.
How fat is she?
She jumped in the air and got stuck.
Again, scientifically, I just don't know. How that's possible. Like, how would that even
stop
work?
Questioning with science?
I just feel like if you're heavy enough, you're going to come down. There's still gravity, right?
Eric in Upland. Well, hi.
Kevin, is there still gravity?
There is still gravity.
Hey, let's switch it. Let's switch it up for the fat. Let's go something different.
Okay.
Your
all right.
Teeth
all right.
So yellow.
What? Huh?
Your mama teeth so yellow.
How yellow, how yellow are her teeth?
When she smiles, traffic slows down.
All right. Bean, your thoughts.
Bean,
your thoughts on this.
One more.
Oh,
I don't want to make a decision until we hear the final caller.
All right. Alex in La Puente. Hi.
What it do, nephew?
We are counting on you, Alex. Save our segment. Save our show.
Okay. Your mama's so fat.
How fat is she?
She jumped out of an airplane, landed on a rainbow, and made Skittles.
Again, I don't see. I don't 100% see how that would. All right, here's the deal. Unfortunately, somebody is going to win tickets to the sold-out Kevin Bean April Fool's just at the Microsoft Theater. Unfortunately. I mean, that's the rules. That's how we laid it out. We have to give it away.
All right.
Is it going to be Kevin or Andrew, Leo or Francisco, Jessica, Pedro, Eric, or Alex? Miss Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Leo.
Leo. Congrats, Leo.
Yay.
Congrats.
Yay. Thank you.
Thanks for playing the game.
Thank you.
We'll see you at April Fool's.
Yo mama jokes.
All right. How about one more yo mama joke? How about one more?
All right. My friend did text me because he was not pleased with what he was hearing on
because
the radio.
Because those jokes were terrible.
They
weren't
great.
It wasn't the best selection of yo mama jokes.
They weren't great. So this comes from my friend Greg. Your mama's so fat.
How fat is she?
When she dances, the band skips.
That's actually pretty good.
Right?
That's how it's done, ladies and gentlemen. So when we do Yo Mama jokes again tomorrow.
All Greg.
I'm sorry. Did you say again tomorrow?
Sure.
No, sir.
Now we got a new bar to reach.
No, sir.
Hey, very excited to say Doto's on the phone. Hit it, Steve.
I need some babe.
Kevin Bean, there's one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
I was in Vietnam. I definitely need a Korean woman.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives in a behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
I drank your milkshake.
I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
And now the further adventures of Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times throughout the week I stop what I'm doing and I think, I wonder what Doto's up to right now. I'm so excited to get our man back on the phone. Hey, Doe, how are you?
Hey, Kevin Bean, how's it going, man? Hey, I did work at the Oscars.
Well, we're going to talk about that. I first wanted to say welcome back. We've missed you. Kevin is here and me and Chip. And you remember Mike Catherwood? He's back on the show. And Allie, we're all here with you, Doe.
Hi, Doe.
Kevin Bean. Hi.
Okay. So how did you get a job working at the Academy Awards?
Well, I've been doing it last year and I've been doing it this year. So I work for a private security company and they do have contract with the Oscar.
Oh, I see. So you were there Oscar day?
Yeah. I was there both Saturdays and Sundays for the Oscar day.
And where were you? What were your duties?
No, I was in the back of the hotel.
In the back of the hotel.
So I was working at the Lowe's Hotel.
At the Lowe's Hotel. Okay, so
that's the hotel right behind the auditorium, right where they had the Oscars. Right?
No, I wasn't in the public. I was kind of back watching the food, Kevin Bean.
You're watching the food.
Oh
okay. Yes. So you weren't anywhere near Jimmy Kimmel and the celebrities and the actual Oscar broadcast.
Nope, I wasn't there, but I was pretty much taking care of the catering place, Kevin Bean.
Okay, the catering place.
Huh. And Kevin Bean, if there was a lot of off-duty police officer, and I got to talk to quite a few of them. Kevin Bean, do you think I asked him? Do you think I asked him 20 million questions, Kevin Bean?
Yes, I would assume you did.
I can guarantee that.
How many hours did you work, Doto?
About 13 to 14 hours.
Wow, that's a long day.
And I talked to this couple off-duty officer. I'm concerned, Kevin. I mean, do you think he still remember me after this weekend? You think they forgot me, Kevin?
Oh, no,
they will never forget you, Doto, ever.
Why would you be concerned? Why are you concerned?
I'm just joking, Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah, we were just talking about Steven Seagal, the martial art movie.
And by we, you mean you.
Yeah.
Okay. Why were you talking to the off-duty police officers about Steven Seagal? How did that even come up?
Yeah, because I was talking to him about bodyguard executive protection. He just told me that when somebody's in that type of field, they need to know martial arts. He asked me how much martial arts experience I have to train. I told him I did train for about 5 or 6 years.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Wait, what did? How and when?
Well, I did train when I was in my early 20s, martial arts.
What kind of martial arts?
What type of martial art? Hapkido.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Are you good at it?
Well, I haven't practiced for a while, so I'm a little bit rusty, Kevin.
But if somebody came at you, Doto, would you be able to defend
yourself? Well, I would know, but I know, yeah, I would be able to defend myself, but I don't know a lot of ground techniques like jiu-jitsu, but I do know hand-to-hand combat.
So you want to learn?
Yeah, I did learn Hapkido when I was...
No. Do you want to learn some ground techniques? Because I'd love to bring you to class. I'd love to help you train.
Hey, is that under... Yeah, that's Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, right?
Sure.
But what martial arts style is perfect? They all could work out, right, Kevin Bean? You just have to find a style that works for you, right?
If you want ground combat, you have to do Brazilian BJJ.
But is there a guarantee that somebody's always going to be successful on the street? Not necessarily.
I don't think there's a guarantee. Oh,
no, there's not a guarantee for anybody.
But if somebody's bum-rushing you for a 6-foot sub at the Oscars, you can take them down.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes, yeah, but it's because I was learning, Kevin Bean, if I want to learn martial arts, don't go to a school that focuses on tournament. Only goes to a school that focuses more on real practical situation. What do you do on a street, right? Because tournament martial arts, it doesn't really mean very much
I have never heard Doto so lucid and so understandable on any topic as he is about martial arts.
Yeah. Well, he loves Steven Seagal.
This is a new Doe. Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay. Hey, Doe, did you meet any celebrities at all during the Oscar weekend?
No, unfortunately, I didn't.
You did not. Okay.
Who took advantage of the catering that you were guarding?
Well, one of the supervisors asked me, could I do the catering?
Because I told him
I did.
Who was the food for?
Did anyone get food?
Pretty much the press.
For the press. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Listen, we're almost.
But I got some food, Kevin Bean.
You got some food.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, we don't have a lot of time, Doe. I'm very excited that you were able to get some work in this weekend. I'm happy to hear about your martial arts training. But we need to know how it's going with the ladies since the last time we talked. Are you still on that dating site?
Well, Kevin Bean, I haven't seen her as much as I did, Kevin Bean.
Because, oh, is that right?
Shocking.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
That's the woman that brought her 6-year-old on your first date?
Yeah. Do you mind if I see somebody else, Kevin Bean?
Do we mind? No.
You'd be fine. See, look, you're paying for it. You should be dating as much as you are comfortable with, though. Whoever you want to go out with, you should go out with.
Yes, Kevin. Yeah, I know that.
Right. Okay. All right, Mike, any questions from you?
Yes, when do you want to train?
Yeah, that's question number one. Do you really want to train jiu-jitsu? Because I could hook that up, Toto. I mean, you're a really committed martial artist. I know that.
So would that be all the way up to Pasadena?
No, I could do it out here on the west side if you're willing to come out here. I could even find a place in Orange County that's closer to you. I'm sure there's plenty of friends of the show that would be more than happy to help out.
Let me give some thought, Mike.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Allie, any final questions from you to Doto?
I just say, Doto, keep your options open on the dating site. Yeah.
Okay. Have you lined up any more dates?
You know, maybe this weekend, Kevin Bean. Yeah.
Okay.
Weekend. Well, Allie brings up a good point because, Doto, you used to be so strict about the type of woman you would want. Yes. Have you opened up your mind to maybe women that aren't as tall as you want or the type of ethnicity you're looking for?
I'm pretty open-minded, Mike.
You are? Because before you said 5'8", 5'9".
Right.
That dark seemed hair. Pretty narrow.
Okay. Now maybe between 5'3 to 5'8".
Okay.
Wow.
Good window.
Okay. All right. Our boy's growing up. All right, Doe. Listen, thank you for jumping on. We've been trying to get you on for several weeks now. I'm glad this finally happened. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks
okay, I'm being right.
I want to come to Seattle.
You're welcome anytime.
Yeah, I haven't lived there in 2 years. Please go as often as you want. Bye bye, Doe.
Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Our next guest is a force of nature, by the way. We've had John Taffer in the studio a few times before, and he just blows you away with his confidence and his knowledge. And now he's written a book about it. He's going to change all of our lives, you guys. Don't BS yourself. John Taffer's book.
Yeah, we are.
I just want to make sure we're all on board.
Yep.
Going to be joining us from Bar Rescue coming up right after 8 here on K-Rock. Don't forget more Imagine Dragons tickets for you at 9 a.m. too. That's all on the way. First, though, Allie, what's happening this Tuesday morning?
Did you hear about Rick Ross last week that an ambulance came to his house in Miami, brought him to the hospital. Then there was, oh, no, he's not at the hospital. Then a little bit later, oh, he's on life support. No, he's not on life support. Everything's fine, you guys. Very conflicting reports.
Right. And it sounded very serious. Initial reports made it sound like he was unconscious.
Yeah, unresponsive, unconscious, put on an ECMO machine. It sounded very serious. Well, he has now returned home from the hospital. And interesting, he might have some serious heart-related issues, but they're kind of trying to play it off that it's no big deal. But TMZ has found out that he has postponed his daughter's Sweet 16 party at the Versace mansion, the old Versace mansion. And they booked this about 7 months in advance. And I don't know if you know anything about Rick Ross's parties. They're legendary. And apparently this one was going to be the biggest blowout of them all, with a ton of rappers coming in, hundreds of people on the guest list. So they have postponed that. It was supposed to happen on March 17th. So no word on what is really happening with Rick Ross. But if you were found unresponsive and you were indeed on an ECMO machine and now you're home, you need a little time to get better, right?
Agreed. Wow.
I feel better, Rick Ross.
And
all
you say
saying
to your daughter, I'm sorry you don't get to turn 16 on your birthday this year.
I think she still does, Bean. I think she just postpones the party.
I got you.
She does actually
then they have to reschedule 16. The Tigers and the Acrobats and everything else?
Pretty much. One place he probably shouldn't go when he does get healthy is a burger place in Pasadena. Have you heard about this? It's a burger place where they have a new robot
a new robot.
Oh, Flippy.
Flippy.
I love Flippy.
He's the new cook.
Flippy is awesome.
Is the burger flipping droid who's now part of the kitchen staff at Cali Burger in Pasadena.
Here's, what?
That's what I'm saying, Flippy. Here's where I'm at a loss. A human is still required to put the burger on the grill, but then Flippy takes over.
So what does Flippy do?
He flips it?
That's it?
But the bot uses artificial intelligence and 3D mapping technology to do its job. I feel like Flippy needs to branch out.
Right?
Flippy needs to handle the meat, put it on...
I'm sorry, Flippy needs to do what, Ellie?
What does Flippy do?
I'm sorry, I missed it. Could you say it again, please?
What? Flippy needs to...
handle the meat, because a human is still required to put the burger on the grill.
Why?
That's what I'm saying.
My brain hurts.
Why can't Flippy do it all?
He's not a very good robot if he's not handling the meat.
I am not a robot.
I am a unicorn.
We need to head there, though, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Cali Burger.
Go down and see Flippy. Absolutely.
Road trip.
He knew about Flippy and didn't tell us.
Yeah, he did.
That's bogus.
Very excited.
Totally bogus. Avenged Sevenfold is going on tour this summer with Prophets of Rage and 3 Days Grace as their opening act. The End of the World trek begins in Mansfield, Massachusetts this summer, and they're going to be at the Forum on August 22nd.
All right.
Huh? That's a lineup, right?
Sure.
Who's with me?
2 out of 3.
How dare you?
Ain't bad.
Dare you. And Wendy McClendon Covey, who we love, Ken Jeong, who we love, and Chris Parnell, who we love, have been added to the cast of the Goosebumps 2 sequel. Did you guys see the first one?
Jack Black? No, I did not. No.
You saw it, Chip, right?
Yeah, I saw it with my niece.
Super cute.
Really fun, yeah.
Great kids movie. It's all about the books, Goosebumps.
Sure.
And Jack Black plays the author.
Right.
It made $150 million.
Holy cow.
In 2015.
Yeah, that's one of the most successful children's book franchises of all time. That's the R.L. Steins, right?
It sure is, Bean. Wow. R.L. Stein, Flippy. Is there no end to what you know?
Let's go back to Flippy.
He's got to handle his meat. I've said it for years.
Yep.
Some birthdays for you. Rapper Tyler, the Creator. Shaq, NBA legend. Actress Connie Britton. Comedian D.L. Hughley. Director Rob Reiner. And actor Tom Arnold. That's what's happening.
I don't know that I can support a Golden Knights hat. I'm not sure that that's a thing.
John Taffer can wear whatever he wants, by the way. That's what I'm saying. He is an award-winning hospitality expert, best-selling author, highly respected management guru, and, of course, the host of Bar Rescue on the Paramount Network. Formerly Spike, welcome back, John. How are you?
Good to be here, man. It's been a while.
Sorry that Kevin is starting by throwing shade at your hockey team, but you are very enthusiastic about your Golden Knights.
He threw a little shade, but he gave a little credit, too, and I thought it was a reasonable conversation, not a fanatical one.
Right. It's an amazing thing they did for a first-year team.
It is.
Did it past tense.
Yeah, and what having a lot of fun. We're still hanging in there.
I know.
The three in a row is, I think, our biggest losing trend, actually. And you guys
That's
kicked
amazing.
Our butts.
Really yeah, is.
We you really did
to,
kick
we're
our
just
butts.
Talking to Luke Robitaille about this a few days ago on the show, and he's marveling like the rest of us are. You just don't see this in sports. You just don't.
It's good for Vegas. I remember we had the shooting.
Yeah.
And the season started at home literally a week later.
Oh, wow.
So, you know,
How's
we went
Vegas
from,
as a sports
city?
City, yeah.
It's great. We're excited about the Raiders. Big time. So, you know, we feel that we're going to have an NBA team within the next couple of years.
Is that right?
So it's what's interesting about the hockey team is two things. One, we sold out season tickets.
Right.
So it was really participation. But unlike other cities, about 30% of the people in the arena are from the opposing team. Because they come to Vegas for the weekends.
Sure.
So you see the red jerseys, the Kings jerseys. So I must say, and you're going to give me a kick for this, when you win with 30% of the opposing fans there, it's really sweet.
Sure, of course.
I never thought about how smart that is to put a team in Las Vegas because so many people will travel there from everywhere else. I mean, you're going to sell a lot more tickets that way.
And it's working. And a lot of people that said it wouldn't, but you see it. The hotel rooms are being sold. You see the opposing jerseys, and it's... it's fun. Come to Vegas and see a team.
It helps that the team's doing so well, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
John, why do you live in Las Vegas?
You know, I lived in Florida, and when I made the pilot of Bar Rescue, I thought I'd make a pilot and go home. I never thought that it would last this long. And I have my consulting business, and I have a real life other than TV. I have a big company, and we develop hotels and resorts. And right now, we're reinventing the customer experience in the world's largest hardware store company.
No
with over 2,000 hardware stores. So we do a lot of other work. So I lived in Florida. We went to season one of Bar Rescue, which was 10 episodes. I stayed in Florida. Season two was 10 episodes. I stayed in Florida. Season three was 40 episodes.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So I learned about the contractual meaning of the word cycle. I have since renegotiated the whole cycle thing very differently.
Wow. Well, I will tell you, when we saw you were having a book coming out, which, by the way, is available March 13th wherever books are sold, online or in stores, called Don't BS Yourself, Crush the Excuses That Are Holding You Back. I will tell you that I was surprised at first, but then I realized that every time Bar Rescue is on, my social media feed is filled with people who are like, John is the OG. John is the guy who gets it done. John is the guy who makes people do things. I mean, you have that reputation already, and people know that from you, from television, seeing you whip people into shape when they think they can't be whipped into shape.
Yes. Sometimes I believe in them more than I believe in themselves, actually. And this book is sort of that. This has become a labor of love. This has really been quite an experience for me. I just shot my 160th Bar Rescue. 160. Think of the depth of failure that I've experienced. He's shaking your head at 150 episodes.
Wow.
So I have seen such failure that most people, I mean, let's talk radio business. You talk about what's successful, how to be successful, what you do to be successful, the blocks of success, steps of success. I know more about failure than anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Because these people can't afford to buy me lunch, nonetheless.
Yeah. Right.
You know, to have somebody who does what I do.
You've seen a lot of people go bankrupt, right?
I have. So I thought to myself, after about 120 of these things, I found a common denominator of failure, and it's so freaking easy. It's just an excuse. Mm-hmm. You see, if you wake up tomorrow and blame the president, the government, the weather, the economy, the this, the that, you have no reason to change because it's not your fault. It's that son of a gun
right.
who's ruining it for me. Mm-hmm. But if you wake up in the morning and blame yourself, then you're going to get angry and you will change.
So that's the biggest issue that you run into going into bars?
Excuses.
It's not me. It's got to be.
Yeah. So I went on this quest and I define the word excuse. This is cool. The word excuse is nothing but, in essence, a rationalization of a mistake.
So you're making a mistake and you're just rationalizing it
away. Or you wouldn't say the excuse.
Yeah.
There's no purpose for an excuse if you're not rationalizing a mistake.
But, John...
So the book destroys every excuse.
Okay.
And when you're done, I leave you with nothing. What are you going to do then? You have to act.
There must be people, though, who are doing all the right things who are still not successful, though. Right?
I find there is
a certain amount of... There's luck involved. Bad breaks involved sometimes that aren't your fault.
Well, of course. I'm going down to Puerto Rico to do two hurricane-impacted bars. So, of course, we have those types of things. Mm-hmm. But honestly, if you open in a smart location and you do everything correctly, you rarely fail. If it's your first time, then you're going to make a lot of mistakes, but the failure is based upon the mistakes. Interestingly, the first time people go into the bar business, success is about 1 of 12.
Oh, wow.
If you go out the second time, it's going to be 1 of 3.
Is that right?
You don't make those mistakes again.
Yeah.
Right.
So the same person's statistics are so much better the second time out. So that's a factor. So I agree there are people who do everything right. But, you know, what is right? Are they doing it right for them? Are they doing it right for their customers? Right. Whose music are they playing, mine or theirs? Who is so there's a lot of ways to interpret right.
In the beginning of your book, you talk about your mom passing away, and it seemed like a pretty heartfelt apology and – you were using excuses to not talk to her.
Yeah. And you know, 5 years later, you realize what an idiot you are.
You hadn't talked to her for 5 years.
Yeah, for 5 years. Now, that was many years before she passed, so that was old news. But, you know, you look back at it, you say to yourself, that's 5 years of my life. I will imagine if, what was it?
Do you remember?
I don't. I honestly don't remember what it was. That's why it's such BS to you know, go through that. And we think of all the people in life who we've disconnected with that meant something to us. Mm-hmm. We don't even know why we disconnected with them anymore.
Yeah.
And these excuses get in the way. So there's great excuses. excuses that came up time after time. Fear is one. Right? I'm scared to do it. I'm scared to do it. I'm scared. I'm scared. But everybody else did it in the same situation. What are you scared of? So then those situations, you know, I have more confidence than they do. Then the other one is circumstance. Well, you know, I can't overcome the weather. I can't overcome this. Mm-hmm. I opened a bar in Seattle. You know that market pretty well. Mm-hmm. Years ago, and every outside deck, and everybody said to me, you can't open bars outside in Seattle. It rains every freaking day here. So I put these metal poles in the deck that umbrellas slipped into, and you could walk around and carry your umbrellas. It was one of the coolest happy hours in Seattle. So you know, there's ways to overcome and do things. So then there's fear, circumstance, resources. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. Time is a great one.
Sure.
I'm sorry. I would have done this, but I don't have the time. But you sat on social media for 3 hours this morning. Yeah. You have the time. You're just not using the time. Right?
I bet that's got to be at the top of most people's list of – poor time management is what holds so many of us back, right?
Big time. I mean, we do. You know, we wake up.
I used to see the people who used to complain that they don't have time to work out. And then I'd see Barack Obama in the gym every single morning. And I was thinking, you know what? The guy's the freaking president of the United States of America. And he somehow has time to work out. I think we all have time to work out.
I think so, too.
You know, that when you started working out, Bean?
That's when I started getting so buff.
Yeah.
And I imagine that ego plays a huge role in all of this as well.
Yeah. And ego gets in the way hugely. And, you know, I want to remove a wall, and it's like I'm removing their child.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a personal connection to what they do. But then, you know, to me, ego is an interesting thing. How much ego can you have when you have an empty wallet?
Yeah, true.
Right? So it becomes a very false ego. So he who puts their ego before their wallet has no ego at all. So, you know, ego is defined on success and being someone. In our society, when you are someone and you attain success, you have at least a few dollars in your wallet. You're not losing $500,000 a year.
Right.
You are. So I have to teach them, you know, how moronic it is to sit there with an empty wallet and suggest that you're God.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
John Taffer's our guest here on the Kevin DeBeach Show from Bar Rescue. We're talking about his book, available everywhere on the 13th, called Don't BS Yourself. You've been speaking in front of groups. You're a management guru, so you have been helping businesses that we've seen on TV and lots of businesses and lots of people off TV that we haven't seen. Is that where a lot of this material from the book came from, is working with people, helping them through their problems, seeing what worked and what didn't work for them, and you've kind of coalesced everything you've learned kind of into this one book?
Yeah, but you know, Bean, I've had a very unique background. I've been on the board of NFL Enterprises. I created Sunday Ticket for NFL Enterprises.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was my creation.
You've taken a lot of my money.
That's good to hear.
Me too.
Can you
tell me what my login is?
but you know, years ago I did that. I've sat on the board of huge resort and hotel companies. I ran one of the largest trade shows in Las Vegas, the nightclub and bar convention, for 30 years. So I have a very diversified background. I've taken restaurant companies public. I've taken them private. I've been in a retail business. I've even done work with the Vatican, believe it or not, years ago.
Wow.
In merchandising and product licensing.
With the good Pope or the Nazi Pope? Do you remember?
With John Paul.
Cardinal
Shoka back then. But so I have a very unique set of experiences that I couldn't have planned. You know, it just sort of happened in life, and they all apply. But you're right. I do give a lot of speeches around the country. As a matter of fact, next week I'm giving a speech to the Yankees.
Is that right?
In New York, yes.
John, what keeps you – you've got to be fabulously wealthy, right? You've made many fortunes, right?
I have a printing press in the house. Let's just
excellent.
What's nice?
I'm curious about this, and any super successful people that continue to work so hard. What's driving you at this point?
You know, that's a great question, Bean. Sometimes I think about that myself. You know, I'll be really blunt. At the end of a bar rescue episode, two things happen: I get a check and I get a hug.
Okay.
And I've really thought about this a lot, because after 160 episodes, being, you know, I've done everything I can do. I've proven everything I could prove. You know, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, going through the motions again. What you don't know is when I'm hugged, our microphones are in our chest, so they're pushed up against each other. You don't hear what's said during the hug. And the things that those owners whisper in my ear during that hug is so freaking inspirational.
Why did you have to scream at me on TV?
Well, just thank you. You know, thank you. You changed my life. You know, and then the next weeks I get these emails from them.
So you work now so hard because it feels good. The work you do and the response you get makes you feel good.
It really does, yes.
Let's take a phone call in that line. Ryan and Carson, hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, John, just wanted to say, a huge fan, man.
been a huge fan of not only Bar Rescue, but more of you. I have the book, Raise the Bar. I've used it as my manual. I'm actually a proud owner of my first business, which is a bartending school. My goal is to actually open up my bar, which is hopefully in the near future. But I just want to say thank you, man. Your Raise the Bar book is almost like a manual for me. I've read that thing numerous times. I have one that's signed by you. That stays in the shelf, but I do read that thing all the time. And I just want to say thank you for all the free information besides the $20 I spent on the book.
my pleasure. You know, tell you a story that nobody knows. Many years ago, I owned a bartending school in Washington, D.C. called Bartenders Academy. And I made my first TV commercial. And I remember I said, are you bored, unemployed, or currently? Do you know in 40 short hours I can make you a professional bartender? And the guy who shot it had me sit at a desk with my hands crossed on the desk. So here I am. I made my first TV commercial. I got a bartending school. I'm in Washington, D.C. I go out to a bar that night. Right, I've been seen on TV. I had 12 spots, and everybody walks up to me and says, "You're the guy on TV with your hands crossed." That was my first television experience. But that's a great business. Congratulations and good luck,
Ryan. Do you not want to see John? Do you not want to see John coming through the front door?
Not at all. Okay. No.
All right. Well, that's a nice endorsement there. I'm sad that we're out of time, but you have sold yourself a book right here, John. I can't wait to read this thing. So March 13th, available wherever books are sold. You can go to johntafford.com right now if you want to pre-order. Go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. Can't wait to read it, man. Sounds fascinating. Thank you so much for stopping back by.
Great to see you guys.
Got more Imagine Dragons tickets for you coming up at 9 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we'll do on Monday to send you to see the band again in Sydney, Australia. Sorry, I should have opened it up there. Mm-hmm. I have been really excited about this topic since we saw the news break the other day that the Ring, that video doorbell, has been acquired by Amazon for $1 billion. Oh. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
$1 billion to buy the Ring. By the way, a couple of people in my I don't have one. Do any of you guys have one?
No. Mm-mm.
A couple of people in my neighborhood have it, and they just love it. And basically what happens is you're sitting at work, and your phone lights up, and you see the person who's on your front porch. It's a Wi-Fi-enabled camera on your doorbell, all right?
Yeah.
So the fascinating thing about this story, it's not just another business transaction until you hear the backstory, which is the guy who invented this technology, the Ring, went on Shark Tank and couldn't get funding.
He got one offer from a guy named Kevin O'Leary, who's Mr. Wonderful. That's
Mr. Wonderful, right.
And he turned it down. Listen.
I'll give you $700,000.
Respectfully, Mr. Wonderful, we're going to decline.
You're dead to me.
Now with the $1 billion Amazon deal, Siminoff's decision turned out to be a really smart move. The video doorbell became a huge hit, telling homeowners who's at their front door, even when they're miles away at work.
Why did they say you're dead to me?
Seriously.
It's just a TV investment show.
Seems aggressive.
Kevin O'Leary, by the way, who the inventor turned down, wanted 10% of all sales until the loan was paid off, but then he wanted a 7% royalty on all future sales forever, plus 5% of the company's equity. So the inventor said, I'd love this boost. I'd love to get this investment money, but I just think that's too steep a price to pay. And as you just heard the news report, thank God he made that decision.
Imagine how much Mr. Wonderful would have made had he sold for $1 billion.
Yes. Very impressive. We got to talking about, I wonder how many other people there are who aren't motivated enough to get their act together, to even go on Shark Tank, to see what their invention is worth, to see what their invention, if it could even be made and possibly be profitable. How many people have come up with great ideas and have just sat on them or told their friends and never made that step because they don't know how to do it? They don't know what the next step is.
Bean. I was afraid you were going to bring that up.
Bean.
Some of us have one great idea in our whole lives. And then when we don't do anything about it, I guess it's kind of on us.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But
time passes you by, doesn't it, Bean?
Do you know what Kevin is talking about with my my million-dollar idea?
Do I? You've only told us all about it for 15 years.
Look, it's too late now because now we live in a voice-activated world. But back when we got DirecTV and all of a sudden we had so many channels and cable started to expand and now you had 200 channels and you had 300 channels and nobody could remember what channel anything was on. You just had to scroll because you don't go to, you know, the movie channel often enough to know where it is. So the idea that I had at the time is that it seems so simple and so easy to do is how about a remote control where you enter in the alphabet? So you put in AMC if you want to go to that channel. You put in CBS if you want to go to that channel. You put in CNN if you want to go to that channel.
And what did the investors say when you went to them with this idea?
Well, I didn't really go anywhere with it. Oh. I just all I did was tell you guys about it. Ah. That was as far as it got. But I really do think that that would have been something that people, if you advertised that on TV, I think there would have been a lot of people out there who would have thought, wow, it's so much easier to find MTV without knowing what channel it's on by just typing in MTV. And I think that maybe it would have gone somewhere and maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But that's kind of the idea that we're getting into here is you had an idea that might have worked, but you'll never know.
You had a genius idea and no one else cared.
Bean, now, Mike, I'm not going to lie. Too? I'd still use that.
You would?
Really? Would it be useful to you?
Yeah. I go to my channel lineup. I Google channel lineup. Then I have to put in my zip code. Then I need – it's a whole ordeal. I could literally print it out.
Because there are so many channels.
And that would save me some time. But who's got that kind of time?
I mean, if you want to go to IFC like twice a year, you have no idea where it is in
no
your cable
idea.
System, right?
Every time that there's a hockey game on NBCSN.
220.
Well, Direct that's TV. On yours. But
that's on DirecTV. Allie doesn't have DirecTV.
No idea.
But if you've gone to it a bunch.
Do you know how much TV I watch?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Right.
How about you guys? Do you guys have the equivalent to my remote?
I feel like I do.
We're going to take your calls, by the way, listeners, at 1-800-520-1067 if you had a genius idea and no one cared. Or you didn't do anything about it and you wish you did.
Two Christmases ago, I was wrapping gifts and I was giving a gift to my agent for still having me as a client after getting him no work or money. And and I really he's Jewish, and I was all my wrapping paper was like Santa Claus and Christmas trees and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to go buy some Star of David or menorah other alternative wrapping paper, but I also don't want to be offensive. It would be nice if I had some that was a little bit more specific to him. I was like, what about double-sided wrapping paper?
Christmas on one side?
And then also other parts of the season. Why don't you do like, hey, it's a boy on one side, or you got, hey, like it's a girl on the other, and for that type of, baby. Uh-huh. And I was like, what? We are wasting a whole side of wrapping paper. We need double-sided wrapping paper.
And what did the investors say when you went to them with this?
Well, funny you should say that. From the TV show The Prophet, Marcus Lemonis, the star of that show, he was on Loveline. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing is investing in businesses, right? And saving them and stuff. I go, Marcus, here's my idea, bro. This is the best. Double-sided wrapping paper. That's a stupid idea. It's a terrible idea. It's completely unmarketable. Just do away with it. So now
and
I'm almost
you just gave up.
Yeah, I just gave up.
I don't think that's a terrible idea. I'm going to say that because here's the thing: I buy Christmas wrapping paper and then I shove it in the closet until next year. Why not keep that Christmas wrapping paper out the next time I got to wrap a wedding gift or the next time I got to wrap a birthday gift or something like that? I just go right back to the roll and boom, there it is.
And my wife says, "Well, it's going to be it'll be all ruined when they open the present. They see the stuff on the other side." I go, who cares? Who cares that it has stuff on the other side? You know that the side that you had it wrapped with was dedicated
sense.
To you.
Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to say that may not work, but I think it was certainly worth pursuing.
I like that you quit after one person told you no.
Yeah. I
did. It's that kind of persistence that really
we
makes it
We should have read
business.
John Taffer's book first, I think. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You had a genius idea. What happened next, right? That's what we're looking for?
Yes, sir.
Give us a call. We'll talk to you next time.
We're taking phone calls on you had a genius idea and no one cared. We're going to start with Beth in Upland. Hi, Beth.
Hello.
Hey, Beth. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What was the great idea you had?
I had several. Okay. The first one was the supposiment. I came up with a name for it and everything. It's for when you have really stinky farts. It's a suppository that smells kind of minty fresh or floral. There'd be different flavors.
I want that.
And that way when you start, you just know... Oh, it smells kind of minty fresh all of a sudden. Oh, it smells like roses. But no one would know. And it would mask the smell of your stinky farts. Hey. So the supposiment was my first idea.
Hey, put this mint in your butt.
Yeah.
By the way, let's all pretend we're shark tankers here. What do you guys think about supposiments?
I don't think you're going to get people to put mints in their butts. I don't.
I think that some people in an elevator would probably be so thankful they did it.
No, I don't know why Kevin has to be a hater, but I'm sorry that you're on the receiving end of that. All right, you said you had several ideas. What else did you come up with,
Beth?
And
then my other one is called a bridal breeze.
Bridal breeze.
Okay. You put for women on their wedding day, under your big giant wedding dress, because it's really hot under there, uh-huh. and you get kind of sweaty. So you could put this, attach a fan on the inside of your dress to keep your legs and your undercarriage area cool during your wedding. Because it's a long time to be in a big giant dress.
And so I, you're saying you put a fan in there.
You can always charge a lot for it. If you attach the word bridal to it, you can charge a lot for it.
That's very true.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's kind of a cooling system for your under the big giant.
All right. Allie, we're going to need you to weigh in on this because this is a lady product.
Well, and it also works with like mascot outfits. You need a fan to keep your junk cool. So yes. Who doesn't want a cool hoo-ha, especially on their wedding day?
Thank you.
I am
yes,
buying
you want
it,
to
Beth.
Keep it fresh and cool.
I mean,
yes.
I'm never getting married. We know this, but I would like that.
Maybe right, even some bridesmaids would need it too.
There you go. Keep coming up those with those great ideas.
The other one that I came up with someone already took was the Vita Cup. It's the coffee with vitamins in it. But somebody already took it, so I missed the boat on that one.
I'm not sure if they took it from you as much as they came up with it on their own. But thank you for the call, Beth. We really very much appreciate that. Wow, Beth was she's on fire.
Yeah.
Guys.
Let's go to Jim in Los Angeles. Hi, Jim.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, we're talking about genius ideas you had that never went anywhere or people just poo-pooed. What'd you come up with?
All right, so a few years ago, I thought of doing dry fit or something similar to that material. It was a turban or a hijab.
I'm sorry, what is dry fit? I don't know what that is, Joe.
It's like moisture wicking.
It's a very light material that it's really cooling, like athletes use it. So it, you know, it helps you with temperature and stuff like that.
So in other words, for people who put something on their head like a turban, it would just make it a cooler experience for them.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Interesting.
Super light, you know.
Okay.
Just way better all around.
I would invest.
Shark Tankers, you guys in on that, on the dry fit turban?
Absolutely, because if your head is hot, your whole body's hot.
And it's a giant market. I think it's a great idea because there's so many millions and millions and millions of people who would use it. My only hold up was, and I don't know, is there any limitations on the type of materials that a religious piece can be?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, the thing is, the reason this became a huge thing for me a while ago is because actually in 2017, December, a few months ago, Nike released it. It's a thing now.
Oh, so Nike came up with it and made it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I thought about it like 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's got to hurt when you have an idea, you do nothing with it, and then you see Nike making millions of dollars out of it. And apparently they use it a lot for summer Olympic athletes, too. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that very much. That does sound like a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's go to line 4, please. Stanton, let's say hi to Scott up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Scott.
Good morning, all. How are you?
We are good.
I am very encouraged by how many of our listeners are calling through who at one time had genius ideas. I did not expect our crowd to have genius ideas ever.
Look, if two of us can, I mean, honestly, what was yours, Scott?
Mine is called the Floon.
The Floon.
The Floon, yes. It's a little widget that I make that allows anyone without any training to make balloon art. Balloon animals, flowers, and things.
Is that a big market?
Well, I tell you, it was a pretty good market for me in the initial parts. I put it in competitions at the Orange County Fair. I won first place. Mm-hmm. Made a lot of money there. I actually got it into the Allen Party supply stores. There was a very nice lady who embraced me, realized this is something brand new, and put it on the market. But the owner of the store didn't like my product. Mm. So I would have people come into the store that were friends of mine, and I'd have them go buy it to try to find it. And this man told his people to, when they would be asked about it, to steer them away from it and say, oh, this product is crap. Don't use it.
Sounds like
product.
Someone's making excuses to me, you guys. Right, seems to me like right there's there. A lot of other stores you could have gone to.
John Taffer would not be happy with you.
No, he wouldn't. I want to make sure I understand, Scott. What do you mean that it's a widget that helps you make balloon animals?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a little piece, a little round piece with particular holes and slots that are very mathematically designed to hold balloons in a certain position around this ring so where you can make anything with it.
I got you. By the way, I don't think that's a terrible idea. Just like there are people every day who decide they're going to learn how to solve a Rubik's Cube, or they're going to learn how to yo-yo, or they're going to learn how to do any number of things. There are people out there, I'm serious, there are people out there who would go, hey, it would be fun to make balloon animals. I don't know how to do it. And if there's a product that makes it easier to do that, why not?
I like that you use yo-yo as an example. Mm-hmm.
I think I would invest in Scott's product is what I'm saying.
All right, thank you.
We have time for maybe one more. Who do you like?
I like... let's see, Jeff
of
in Moreno Valley.
Yeah,
champion.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Talking about genius ideas no one cared about.
Well, my idea was a mistletoe belt buckle.
You know?
You know? So, my
and then what did Spencer's gift say when you took it into them?
One of those big, gaudy, country western belt buckles with these mistletoe on it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think we understand.
Looked into it. Looked into it. Went and looked at getting the impression molds and all that. Said it was too much. That following Christmas, they were there was a display at Spencer's, and the guy said they couldn't keep them on the shelves.
Is that right?
And I was just joking about Spencer's, by the way. I had no idea that that was part of the story here. Well, now Kevin knows what he's getting everybody for Christmas this year.
That's right. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Tuesday morning, Allie's here with What's Happening.
What's happening is Thor Ragnarok. It's available on digital and Blu-ray right now, but I would like... I know, kids. It's exciting. I would like to give the first five callers a copy of Marvel's Thor Ragnarok on Blu-ray.
Someone call someone!
However, you're going to have to earn it. I need you to answer a simple question. What is the name of Thor's hammer? Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and the first correct five callers will win that Marvel's Thor Ragnarok on Blu-ray.
Someone call someone!
Someone call someone. You're calling Kevin and Bean right now, 1-800-520-1067. And Russ Solomon, the founder of Tower Records, has passed away at the age of 92. Apparently, he was watching the Oscars on Sunday at his home in Sacramento, where he suffered a heart attack. And his son, Michael, said, quote, ironically, he was giving his opinion of what someone was wearing that he thought was ugly. And then he asked his wife, Patty, to refill his whiskey. And when she returned, he had passed away.
To be fair, I wanted to die during the Oscars, too. It was so, so boring.
I don't know if that's really the takeaway here, okay, that it was boredom. It was actually a heart attack.
Ah.
Yeah, which is weird, because I think he felt fine the day before.
Bean,
I'm making fun of you, because, my God, you don't understand how heart attacks work.
I really
work.
Don't. I still don't get it, but okay.
And
but
if,
92, it's not, I mean, it's not old enough for me. I would not be satisfied with that. But that's a pretty good life for most folks.
Yeah.
And he certainly crammed a lot into his years.
Oh, goodness. Did he live a life? And did he change so many of our lives and add to it just with, you know, Tower Records? We all have memories of where our Tower Records was, just spending countless hours in there looking through, well, for me, it was CDs. Probably
sure.
For some of you, it was records. For Chip, never knew a tower.
What are you
real
talking about?
Sad. I'm kidding.
Point
I was making
park.
You young. I was
point
making you
park,
young.
Bitches. What?
All right, scary.
I don't
if
know
you,
why I did that.
I'm not sure either. If you haven't seen Colin Hanks's documentary on Russ Solomon's life, it's called All Things Must Pass. Came out a few years ago. It is one of the most well done documentaries on anything.
Yeah, it's really good.
But the fact that it's about Russ Solomon and Tower Records, you find out how he basically started his whole career as a teenager in his father's drugstore up in Sacramento, just selling records, used records to regular customers. Then he got a loan and he opened up his first Tower Records in 1960 in Sacramento. And then it was so popular, he opened one in San Francisco, then LA, and then 26 other locations in the 70s and 80s, including locations in Japan, one of which still stands to this day.
That's
so
amazing.
It's quite the life. And I mean, if you watch the documentary, you'll see how many musicians, just the Sunset Strip alone, how many musicians went in there before they were big, how many musicians worked there before they were big? Wasn't Dave Grohl a...
I think so. I think he worked at the Tower.
Tower Records employee. And just hours spent in there talking about music. It was just this... It was this camaraderie that you don't have nowadays.
It's more of a hangout place than it was a record
store. You do have it a little bit at Amoeba. I mean, it does survive at least, but not very many places like that left anymore, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Help me remember, Kevin, why there was a riot at the West Covina location 1 year for Weenie Rose tickets. What happened?
It was a riot for Weenie Rose tickets.
Yeah. It's one of those deals back in the day when everybody used to line up to buy tickets before you could buy them online, and you literally had to go down and just get in line to buy them and hope that they weren't sold out by the time you got up at the counter. And I can't remember what the circumstances were. I saw several people mentioning it online yesterday.
I'm sure it was somebody cutting the line, I imagine.
Something happened where maybe the machine broke down and we weren't able to sell or whatever, but at that tower location, there was an actual riot where, you know, fights broke out and people got arrested and the police had to come out and the whole deal. And naturally, it was for, you know, a K-Rock show, but...
we were never popular with the authorities.
No, we weren't. That was a fun tower memory that a lot of people were sharing yesterday, being a part of that.
A fun one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys were never really involved with big record stores having issues.
No.
Definitely not with Depeche Mode
not
or
us.
Anything.
Nope.
Not K-Rock. Good times, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's something that just makes me sad, because you know how much I love The Godfather.
Allie's never seen any of The Godfather movies.
I'm awful.
You're awful.
I get it. I understand. Okay. And I will one day.
You would love it.
I know. Yeah. I totally know. I will one day sit down and watch them. I promise.
I doubt it, but go ahead.
No, I will. I will. But before you shell out $500 for a copy of Francis Ford Coppola's Godfather notebook on eBay, you need to know that the original and a bunch of items from The Godfather were stolen from a UPS shipment.
Oh.
Deadline reports that production notes, index cards, script pages, and photos from the 1972 Oscar-winning film were hijacked from the shipment, and UPS is reportedly investigating whether it was an inside job.
Oh.
Right? We'll wake up a little, like, horse head in the bed.
Wow, look at Allie making Godfather reference.
I was hoping.
was
actually hoping. So, yeah, that's not good. If you're spending that money on eBay, then it comes to you and it's just like your Godfather Jimmy writing in a notebook. Shout out to all you guys out there with a Godfather Jimmy. Hey, let's go to our caller, see if we have a winner. Let's go to Albert in Norwalk and see if he can tell me the name of Thor's hammer.
Hey, Albert.
Hey, that would be Mjolnir.
Oh, I like how you say it, too. Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
Yeah!
Excellent. Good work, Albert. And I believe we have other winners as well. Kyle and Felipe and Emily and Arthur. You are all going to get a copy of Marvel's Thor Ragnarok on Blu-ray, which is out right now.
How about that whole deal?
Yeah, right. Some birthdays for you. Rapper Tyler, the Creator, actress Connie Britton, comedian D.L. Hughley, director Rob Reiner, actor Tom Arnold, and one of our favorites, NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Can we get a March Fatness update tomorrow?
Yes, please.
Because I am hearing some stories
about
what Beer Mug has been putting in his mouth.
I had a great conversation with Beer Mug.
Did you?
Yeah,
Is he taking it seriously, trying to lose the weight by April Foolishness?
Well, let me just recap the conversation that I had.
Okay.
So he's out there talking about how much he's going to exercise. And Mike Catherwood, who's their, you know, trainer, he says the best way to do it is with diet. And then you can exercise. But if all you do is exercise and don't change your diet, then it's probably worse for you.
Yeah.
And Mug goes, hey, Kevin, you want to hear my plan? I was like, yeah. And he goes, I'm going to exercise a lot.
So didn't even hear him.
And I said, did you hear Mike just 30 seconds ago say that that's not going to do it? And he goes, yeah, but I'm going to exercise more than you think.
So
that's happening.
So Dave and Mike are trying to lose the most weight between now and March 31st.
Yes.
And the loser, whoever doesn't lose the most weight, comes on stage at April Foolishness and lip syncs or sings to Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
I mean, I don't care as long as they're wearing the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
Dave lip syncs.
Dave seems to be taking it more seriously than Muggs did, because Muggs is in there eating hot Cheetos right now.
Yeah, he's...
So it doesn't... I don't know what his strategy is.
It's not going
to
be.
Is he just... He's so far advanced, so far ahead of the rest of us that he didn't even have to get started yet? Like, he could wait until a week out, and then he can just, boom, do it all?
He has Armenian comedian confidence.
He really does.
And
he
talent.
He did say he was carb loading right now. Like, he's running a marathon. What's he doing?
I don't see how Frosted Flakes is part of anyone's serious diet.
He had it for dinner last night.
He had it for dinner last night, but he said, but right before it, I had a big old bowl of like pasta with chicken in it. And I said, before the cereal? What? What is happening? And then you've got Dave, who's eating salads. He had broccoli. He was asking me tips on steaming broccoli. And then he's like, Aaron, I'm going to make a change to my vodka. I'm just going to have either vodka and soda or just plain old vodka. I'm not going to have any sort of juices in it.
No.
He's taking it really seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be over within a week.
I put my money on the wrong guy.
It sounds like it. So anyway, we'll talk with their trainer, Mike Catherwood, tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to the update and hearing straight from Muggs' mouth. It is a Tuesday first, though. Allie's here with one more What's Happening.
Well, this is a delightful story. Last Sunday, when we had the Oscars, last Sunday, 2 days ago.
2 days ago, right?
Woo! Director Guillermo del Toro takes the stage to accept the Shape of Water's Academy Award for Best Picture. But if you looked around in the audience, the star of the show, Michael Shannon, nowhere to be found.
Hmm.
Well, that's because he was sitting in a dive bar in Chicago. Rather than dress up in a tux, walk in the red carpet, he was just parked right there at the bar watching the Oscars on the TV at Chicago's Old Town Ale House. And the guy that owns the bar, Bruce Elliott, took a picture of him right at the moment when they were announcing the winner. And he wrote, Michael Shannon watching the film he starred in, Shape of Water, win Best Picture while sitting in the Old Town Ale House. No sound on the TV, just subtitles. Of course, the jukebox was rocking and the beer was flowing. Where else would you want to spend Oscar night? And I kind of love that.
Now,
that's hot.
Do you think that he could have gone to the Oscars? He's one of the stars of that movie, and Sally Hawkins was there, and Octavia Spencer was there. He could have been there. Do you think he didn't want to go?
I don't. It could be he didn't want to go. Maybe he's filming something in Chicago and couldn't get away. He only had time to go to this bar.
That's what I was wondering too. Is maybe they wouldn't let him go. But I feel like if you got a star the caliber of Michael Shannon in your movie and he wants to go to the Oscars, you accommodate that schedule.
I would think so. Think.
Yeah. Or do you think he was like, no way, this damn fish film's winning? Right? Do you think he was thinking that?
Well, he clearly liked the movie enough to do it, to sign on for it and act in it.
Doesn't mean he thought it would win an Oscar.
Yeah. That is funny, though, at one of the... Look, I mean, he deserves some of the credit for that movie winning the best Oscar. Best Picture Oscar, for sure. It is weird. A moment like that comes around and you're not there to enjoy it. It is kind of an odd choice.
I don't know. I've got to think a lot of those guys and ladies maybe getting all dressed up, sitting there for hours
for award show
on
after award
end.
Show.
Mm-hmm. How about sitting in a dive bar in Chicago and drinking a beer?
Right.
I'm choosing the dive bar in Chicago nine times out of ten, for sure.
Hey, even in that bit where Jimmy took those stars across the street to surprise the moviegoers, Gal Gadot said, this is so much better than the Oscars.
She wasn't kidding. Absolutely. I do wonder, though, there had to be someone at that movie that was like, are you kidding? I'm watching this movie.
I wanted to see how it ends.
Right?
I doubt it.
No?
I don't know. Hot dog cannon.
Really obsessed with the hot dog
cannon.
That's
all I'm saying.
I'm telling you, Kevin, I know you're going to get one because you're you, and there's no way you're not.
Right.
We need to work on the arc. You can't shoot it at someone's face. It's so much funnier. It's going to hurt someone.
It's so much funnier.
Imagine, though, you lose an eye and you have to tell people, oh, this DJ from K-Rock shot a wiener at my face.
That would be the best
story ever. He was warned about
the
arc. Instead, he just went straight ahead. I'm just telling you, Kevin.
I know. I hear you.
You're going to hurt someone.
Kevin, you're following through on trying to get us that hot dog cannon for Weenie Roast, right?
I mean, it makes sense for Weenie Roast. Am I right?
It's perfect.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
So don't tell me how to shoot it, Allie. I know. I know how to handle it.
Ew. Stick a real turn. Hey, guys, Henry Cavill isn't dead. Yay!
Hey, that's good news.
He let us know himself because he saw on Wikipedia that he had passed away on Saturday, March 3rd. So he took a screen grab of the page, posted it on Instagram yesterday with the caption, "When you learn you died 2 days ago." That's no fun,
seems
right?
To happen all the time.
Happens all the time. It's got to feel good when you realize you're alive, though, right?
Sure.
Sure. Get ready for Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson to hit the road together this summer for a co-headlining tour. It's called The Twins of Evil, The Second Coming Tour 2018. It begins in Detroit on July 11th, and it's going to wrap up August 29th in Irvine. So get your tickets now or when they go on sale. And after months of rumors, Beyonce and Jay-Z have announced a joint tour. However, there's a little bit of drama. The first date on the Run 2 tour was listed on Beyonce's Facebook and Ticketmaster pages yesterday, and then mysteriously deleted.
Just got taken down immediately.
Take it down, but people had screenshots, and they were like, what's happening? Is it going on? The only date that was listed was Monday, July 30th at Philadelphia's Lincoln Financial Field. So I'm sure more dates will be added when they're ready to actually announce it for reals. But kind of odd. You got to wonder, was it like a scheduled post? And then they had a big meeting and they were like, we're not going to do it. And then they forgot to take down the scheduled post.
Probably.
Because that never happens here.
I've also heard rumors, and of course they like to, you know, they like to surprise you with albums and whatnot, that they recorded a record together. That Jay-Z and Beyonce are going to have an album coming out in addition to this tour.
That'd be great.
Well, they did collaborate with the video for Family Feud, so maybe...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Maybe he comes out of Coachella. I don't know why I say it like that.
Not real sure why you're talking to the side of your mouth.
That'd be cool.
You think Beyonce is going to let Jay-Z come out of Coachella?
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay. All right. No.
Nah. That guy cheating on her, her yellow dress, big baseball bat walking down the street. Of course she might.
Yeah.
You know, people forgive people
sure.
for their sins. Not me. Hey, guys. Are we on the air?
We are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good time. Some birthdays for you. NBA legend Shaquille O'Neal. Actress Connie Britton. Comedian D.L. Hughley.
Still Hughley. Still D.L. Hughley.
You knew it was coming, though. I cannot be worse today.
Take two.
D.L. Hughley. Director Rob Reiner. Actor Tom Arnold. And rapper Tyler, the Creator.
What is your spirit animal?
I have a bunch of spirit animals. I'm a squirrel, I'm a whale, I'm a goat, and I'm a dragon.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
You guys, I love him so much. And I love that he made Bean work so hard for the simplest of answers. You got to play that one again.
Is there going to be much music on it as well, or just acting?
You will see.
That's what the whole interview was like. By the way.
That's not easy.
That is a guy trying to ruin an interview.
Yeah, and succeeding. Yeah, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ali. The SoCal Hill. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We've got Psycho Body, plus an update on March Fatness. We're going to send mugs out in the Kevin and Bean janky van with tickets for the sold-out April Foolishness.
Hashtag Kev Dog.
What's up with Florida, World Star Wednesday, and Adam Carolla tomorrow morning?